Silva, you absolutely suck.
Baby, we did it. Yeah. Welcome along to Obviously Fight Talk episode 44. Brought to you, as always, by MMA Mix. For all your MMA needs, they're obviously good. Cause?
They're obviously fight talk.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Rob Cotton on.
You got wrecked.
And Fightstar Ireland, the fighter's choice. All your fighter needs under one roof. Go to their website for the best of fight wear and fight equipment and tell them the Obviously Fight Talk lads sent you. I'm joined, as always, by hashtag win decision, Mr. Robert Palin.
How's it going? I love the way you picked up the mic like a fucking singer or something. You were like, you're up like this. That was brilliant.
Yeah, that's I announce like that. I go like The Rock. Every time I call someone, I go like that, and I get called The Rock. And the velvet voice of the hardest working referee in the game, the gentleman, Mr. Daniel Mulvihedy.
How we doing, gents? You well?
Good.
Top of the world. Yeah, happy days, man. All good. So tonight's show is jammed to the rafters. After missing last week's show, we do apologize to any listeners out there who missed and sobbed and cried. But now we're back. From outer space. Yeah, here we are. We're back. So this is 44. Your show breakdown this week. It's there's no awards going out for guessing the subjects this week. So we're going to have the obviously quick fire news as we always do. Then we have the notorious Conor McGregor was stripped of his UFC featherweight title. And we'll look at the state of the featherweight division. List this week, we're back to it. This is the top five European fighters outside of the UFC. We're going to, there's a little bit of a criteria to why they get in, why they don't. Then we're going to ask the problem of what to do with Neil Seary. Because we missed last week, we wanted to talk about this. Neil Seary, we all know, obviously, the fight with Ian McCall fell through at the witching hour, the last minute. Went through. I'm sure Neil Seary feels like the kid who got dressed in his uniform and went to school on a bank holiday Monday. He had done absolutely everything for this fight, and unfortunately McCall fell ill. Then Rob is going to be testing our knowledge in what a game that Rob's calling MMA fact or fiction. We'll then have a brief look ahead at the Tough 24 finale taking place later on. So gentlemen, how have we been? It's been a fortnight since we've chatted. How are we?
Yeah, all good. A lot has happened. Obviously, the big news that we're going to touch up on is obviously, like you said, Conor, whether he's relinquished or stripped. And, you know, we said again, like we were talking earlier, there's no official word from him, from himself. So, you know, be interesting to see what he comes out with and, you know, what the real deal is. But apart from that, yeah, all good. Can't complain, man.
And Dan, you've had a big carbon footprint as well. The last time we spoke, you've been flying across the world as well.
Yeah, went to Bulgaria with my co-referee Sam Amidi and the team. That was good, interesting. Big show out there, and production wise, fight wise, a lot of British guys out there as well. Yeah, all good. And then off to see you guys soon, Bellator, Bama. And then off to ACB after that, straight to St. Petersburg. So busy end of the year for me, which is fun.
When do you sleep? I definitely nail it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When do you sleep?
I don't sleep. I take on it Alpha Brain, and I'm on it.
Are you actually seeing that? What's that like? Does that actually have an effect?
It does. I mean, I definitely find an effect when I'm off it. You do seem more alert. Yeah, it does. But again, it's like with anything. If you think it, I'm sure it works.
Call me old fashioned here, Dan, but I'm more of a cocaine man myself, you know. Obviously, Fight Talk does not endorse cocaine.
Most definitely not.
So that's the Honor product, is it? A little plug here for Joe Rogan.
It's like we're sponsored or something. Weird.
Yeah, sponsored by Honest. Obviously, Fight Talk officially sponsored by Honest Products. Check them out.
If you use the
code Obviously Fight Talk, you will get nothing off your order.
You'll get an error message on the website. That's all you'll get.
Yeah.
Right, Ted. Yeah. Go on. What were we going to say, Dan? I'm interrupting you.
Nothing. No, I was just going to say, just been a good couple of weeks. And it's obviously a shame that we didn't, it was a bit of a mix up and whatnot in the plans last week. But hey, huh?
Yeah.
More to talk about.
We won't blame the person. We won't blame the person who's not on today. We should point that out as well. Carl is in absence. So with confidence, apart from my cocaine reference there a moment ago, with confidence, people, hire your radio up. You're not going to get the sack in your job. This will probably be a PG-friendly reference show. So
probably.
Yeah, just as Carl, just as Dan's drinking Carlsberg, you said probably. Awesome. So, Rob, I'm not going to ask you how your week was because I see every day of the week. So, no point in asking that. So, here we go, gentlemen. Rob, get your clock ready. So, this is your quickfire news. So, UFC Fight Night 101 took place in Melbourne, Australia on Saturday night. In the main event, Robert Whittaker defeated, not Forrest Whittaker, like Dan Hardy commented, defeated Derek Brunson in a TKO in the first round. Crazy fight. The results of the top of the card included underdog Andrew Holbrook defeating Jake Matthews by decision. And forgive me, Amory Akhmedov defeat Kyle Noak by decision in a fight which looks to be Noak's last fight. More on this story a little later. So what fights, including the ones mentioned, stood out to you, gentlemen? Ding, ding, Rob.
The main event was probably the best fight in the card. The only really fight that I want to talk about, apart from the Kyle Noak fight, but we'll get into that. But that was some fight. It wasn't the most technical fight. If you're saying Derek Brunson was basically chasing Whittaker, Forrest Whittaker across the cage. It wasn't really, he's just kind of chasing him and throwing punches. But Whittaker done a really good job. I'm actually big fan of Whittaker. I was I picked him against Uriah Hall a couple of fights ago when he was a pretty big underdog. I think he's a really good fighter. He's a good prospect. I think if you look at him since he went to middleweight, he's looked a hell of a lot better than he was at welterweight. Maybe he was cutting too much weight, but even then, if you look at him in that fight, he didn't look small. He looked fairly big for the weight class. So it's interesting there. I'd like to see what he does next. I think he's definitely a bit of a dark horse in that division, along with like the likes of Gegard Mousasi.
Yeah, he's on his way up. For me, the co-main event, I cannot for the love of God remember the names, but a 21-year-old Aussie kid who came
Jake
out,
Matthews.
That's it. And his opponent, the guy from Chris Lytle's camp, which was
Holbrook.
There we go. Holbrook, yeah. It was a grinding fight, and he done well. But after the first round, you know, the young kid, he could see his dad asking him, is everything okay? He was like, my foot hurts. And you could see it's swollen up now. Whether he took a kick to the elbow or whatever it was. But to be fair, you know, he stuck with his game plan. And he's a force to be reckoned with at 21 years old. All right, obviously the result didn't go his way. But a hell of a lot to learn from. And you know, at such a young age to be in the UFC. He'll be, and again, it's interesting to see that father and son relationship. Now, it's, you know, we've got a couple of them. You know, you've got Sage Northcutt and his dad, and obviously this kid and his dad.
Wonderboy Thompson.
Yeah, exactly.
And Frank Mir to go old school. Frank Mir's dad's always in the
squad. That's it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I don't even get to say the fight. The opener of the prelims. That's what I thought was a cracker. It was a crazy mad fight.
Go on.
Go for the
opener quickly. Is that the two?
It was I think it was the opening fight of prelim. It was a Japanese guy against the Japanese guy versus was he from the Philippines? The very first fight of the night. Oh. It was crazy.
Ben Gwen, was it?
I'm not too sure.
I missed the name. Go ahead.
Yeah, they hit him with a head kick, and it was almost like you hit him with a head kick, and then went, wait, you're going to feel that now in a minute. Because I'd say a good 2 seconds passed before he fell to the ground. It was incredible. But it was just like, it was an all-out brawl. It was a three-round war. It was just a great fight. It was absolutely amazing fight. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Again, sitting here watching it on the phone, just on Fight Pass. But it was absolutely class. It was. I really enjoyed it. Got into it. But I don't have time. So speaking about the aforementioned UFC Fight Night 101, Australian MMA pioneer Kyle Noak has retired following his decision loss to Amory, here's the Rob throwing the name in twice for me, Amory Akhmedov at the Melbourne event. Noak made the announcement on Twitter and leaves the sport with a professional record of 22 wins, 10 losses, a record of 6-6 in the UFC. So again, here's another fighter hanging up the gloves. Did he not say it in the cage? It was on Twitter after, was it, Rob? I missed it.
Yeah, I didn't see him doing it in the cage. The only thing I seen was him announcing on Twitter. So, Colin Loke, he was always a bit of a journeyman, but I think he always had a good following. Good fighter, the pioneer, as we said, in Australian mixed martial arts. There's not that many fighters that came out there that done as good as he done in the UFC. So I think, you know, he was very good for the sport, especially in Australia. All that kind of stuff. I think he was on Tough as well. He coached one of the seasons of Tough, I think. Congratulations on a good career, I think.
Yeah, and I think if the, you know, the time that you're going to hang your gloves up, yes, it's not, you know, it's not off of a win. However, you know, you've done it in your hometown, your own country, and, you know, on your own terms, so to speak. You know, he's a second fighter who's retired this month. Yeah, fair play to him. Like you said, he's had a good career. 6-6 isn't bad in the UFC. Yeah. And he's been in some good scraps. I mean, that was a good fight as well. I mean, he had two cuts, one underneath the eye, one above the eye. And he went through it as well. But, you know, credit to him and fair play. Best of luck to him.
40 seconds now.
Jesus, nice one. I'm getting screwed by the pooch here on time, aren't I? Look, like 6-6, you nailed it, Rob. Bit of a journeyman in it, but again, Dan, you nailed it as well. In some barn burners as well. It was almost like the Siri bow out the way he wanted to fight and finish on his homeland. So we got to do it. Unfortunately, he didn't get the W, but, you know, congratulations. Good career. Like you said, Rob, pioneer for the sport in MMA. So bow out. Congratulations, Colin. Look, best of luck with everything you do in the future.
Perfect.
Oh, with seconds to spare. Oh, yeah.
There you go. Well, you know, it's almost like I get paid for this shit.
Boom.
Here's one for you, Dan. This will be right up your street. We'll nearly let you fill the 2 minutes here because I'm sure this man is someone you look up to. Speaking of retirements, in a Twitter Q&A today, Big John McCarthy was asked how long he would continue to referee a mixed martial arts contest for, and his answer might just sadden long-time fans of the sport. I honestly don't have an exact answer for that. He said, it won't go on for much longer. What are our thoughts on John McCarthy possibly stepping away from the sport in the near future? Dan.
Yeah. I hope not. To be fair, I would like to see that interview. I don't know. I mean, again, if he feels like that he needs to step down for whatever reason, whether it be health, I'll be absolutely honest with you. Doing these past couple of weeks back to back, my knees and my back are in bits. Like, after the stretch out, it does take its time. You've got someone like John who most weekends, he sometimes does Friday Bellator, then he does Saturday UFC or other shows. You know, he does do it back to back, and he's maybe one of the very few people who can actually say he's a full-time referee. You know, obviously, he has his own gym. He can do, you know, he can afford to go around. And, you know, he's one of the guys who's very active a lot, you know, in the States. So, you know, maybe he's, you know, if he thinks he wants to step down, I can't see that. But I can see at least another 4 years, 5 years in him. Yeah. Again, it depends how he feels. I can't answer that for him. It's not my place to answer either. You know? So I hope he does. He's one of my favorite reviews. I just finished reading his book as well. Very inspirational. Very, very good. If anyone hasn't read it, here's a plug, Big John. Get his book.
Yeah. He's like the original referee. So like he's been doing this since what, 24 years or whatever it is. Whatever that. Yeah. It's been a long time. Like he's been doing it for long and at the top as well. Like he's been doing all the big fights, so I'm sure preparation for all those big fights, I'm sure there's a little bit of a stress there. I'm not sure, you could probably answer that, Dan, but like, you know, it's a high stretch situation, like having this huge fight in front of you, knowing that you have to do the right job. I'm sure it is a little bit stressful at times. So
I think for him, possibly not anymore. I think for him, he just sees it as another fight. Exactly, for him it's just another fight. Whereas if you put me tomorrow and said, hey, referee McGregor versus Aldo, of course I'm going to have a... Yeah, exactly.
You're joking me. It's only 13 seconds work, for fuck's sake.
No, but yeah, you know, it mostly is, and look, a lot of travelling, and maybe, you know, it's time for him. Maybe he wants to enjoy his life a little bit and concentrate on his gym, or maybe concentrate on setting up an official... He already does. He does official courses for other officials to come for him. Maybe he wants to push that side of it. Who knows? He's involved in the athletic commission and obviously the regulatory side of stuff quite heavily. So, you know, maybe that's the stuff he wants to concentrate on. Who knows? Who really knows?
Go on now. We'll give it 30 seconds overtime to say something.
All right. Now, John McCarthy, he's there from the very start. I loved an interview with him where he's basically saying, you know, we fucking we're learning from the bottom up, like, you know what I mean? As in, every fight was a learning experience for the rules of MMA. The man just a polarizing figure in MMA. He was missed when he wasn't getting bouts in Las Vegas. He was badly missed. A UFC doesn't look like a UFC without Big John, and the man's an absolute fucking legend, and the sport will lose one of its biggest figures if he does bow out.
Yep.
All right. UFC middleweight contender Gegard Mousasi, who recently avenged his loss to Uriah Hall in Belfast, has revealed what and who he wants next. And it's not a title shot. Mousasi stated in a recent appearance on the MMA Hour that he wants former UFC middleweight champion Luke Gorgeous Rockhold next, preferably in February or March. Do we like this potential middleweight bout?
Yeah, it does. It sounds interesting. I'm surprised, actually, he hasn't gone straight for the title, or actually called the title up, but then maybe he's just a smart man. He wants to see how it plays out. And I guess, you know, that if he does ever fight Luke Rockhold and he manages to win that fight, then there's no questions to be asked, really, that he, you know, he should be definitely in the title contention. That, you know, then there's not like, oh, he jumped the gun or anything. No, he just beat Luke Rockhold. Tough fight for him, but, mate, really, again, he had a quick turnaround to fight Uriah. If he carries on, yeah, March, you've got to think Christmas period, once that's over, he'll get in there to have the fight. It'll be interesting. I hope it does happen, because I'll be looking forward to that, most definitely.
Yeah. I think it's smart, because he's not getting the title shot. It's just not going to happen. Don't cry now. Yeah. He's not getting the title shot. It's just not going to happen. I think that, you know, setting your expectation and setting your standards of what you want straight away, knowing that the title shot's not there, Romero's getting it. I think it's just smart, and I like the fight.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. He's being smart. He's looking at, all right, I'm not going to get the fight because Yoel Romero has it. He said, so Luke Rockhold was the previous champion, so let's beat him up, and that puts me as number one contender. So it's just smart by him, you know what I mean? I like Mousasi. Mousasi's coming out and talking a lot more now, and he's really pushing himself. I really like it, because I always liked it. Like, our joke was, I think it was like one of our very first fight picks, I just went, yeah, Mousasi, don't need to say anything else. Yeah. But, like, he's just... Like, that's what he is. He has that ability. Gegard Mousasi is one of the best fighters in the UFC. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Just sometimes he doesn't turn up. Sometimes he can be a bit lethargic in his approach. But as Carl always says, he's a hard puzzle to solve. And I think, you know, this is incredibly smart by him. Beat the former champion, he's definitely number one contender.
I agree. 100%.
Yeah, am I ahead of time there as well, am I?
Oh, yeah.
It was true. Okay, tell you what, you swear to God, lads, you nearly swear we've done this 44 times. it was reported before, but was made official last week that Matt Mitrione is taking on Fedor Emelianenko. What way did I say that? So it'll take place at Bellator 172. Basically, that's taking place on January 21st. They'll be joining the Tito Ortiz versus Chael Sonnen card. It was revealed by Fedor that he has signed a multi-fight contract with Bellator MMA. In a recent interview, Mitrione spoke of not only winning the bout, but stealing Fedor's reputation. How big of a win over Fedor year 2017?
Go on, Rob, you go first. Go on.
It's still big. Like, I think if you put it into context, if Mitrione goes in there and beats Fedor, we're all going to be saying, Jesus, that's a huge win. But it's obviously not as big as it was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, or even maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I think that not even loss, it was a win over Maldonado that was probably should have been either a draw or a loss. Really kind of current.
It's breaking up.
Yeah, we're losing Rob. Rob's gone off talking
about that.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about Fedor and Pride and stuff like that. But I think right now, it did seriously hurt what the current MMA fan would say about him. So it'll be a huge win, but definitely not, you know, what Mitrione would have hoped to have gained from a win over Fedor.
Yeah, it's still a name for him, though, to win, which is good. But is that 100% confirmed that not the fight, the contract of Fedor? Is that a multi-fight? Like, has he got a couple of fight contracts? Because... Well, I'm looking
That's
at
what
it.
Was announced, yeah.
Just, you know, where does Fedor go if he does lose against Mitrione? And Mitrione's a grinder. He can't, you know, like you said, look, he's Fedor's last fight when he fought in Russia. Bit controversial. Great commentary. Commentating by the guy on the fight, as we can all remember. You know, where does he go from that if he does lose? However, if he does beat Mitrione, it will make the Bellator that division very interesting, and I'll be looking forward to it, that's for sure.
I have two opinions on this, right? One opinion is, yeah, Fedor's, beating Fedor in 2017 is not like beating Fedor even 2-3 years ago, right? But also, like, I'm a big Matt Mitrione fan, right? I do like Matt Mitrione, but it just goes to show the caliber of fighter that Fedor Emelianenko is now fighting. Like, and no disrespect to any fighters I mentioned, but Maldonado was cut from the UFC, right? He fought Fedor, beat Fedor, at least drew a Fedor, right? Now Matt Mitrione is coming in. So, before he used to be getting former champions, now he's barely getting former top teners. That's my point. Anyway, Matt Mitrione beats him. Last week, Ryzen officials announced that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu sensation Vanderlei, or sorry, Gabby Garcia, will square off against 52-year-old Shanapu Kandora.
How old?
Reissues December 52, Dan. That's 2 years older than you, Dan. On the December 31st show, Kandori, who represents Japan in judo, will compete in MMA for the first time since 2000. In a recent interview, Garcia admitted that Kandori was not the type of opponent she was hoping for. However, she was convinced to accept the fight by the risen CEO, citing that the fight is good for the market. Now, what do we think of this featured fight for Risen's end of the year show, and do we care?
Actually, just basically went, ugh. That was amazing. Go Dan.
The matchups like this, it really winds me up because, yeah, it's entertainment, but it's not like, if you look at, obviously, some people thought, you know, when we used to watch Pride, we knew some of the matchups was a bit iffy, but you still used to get them fantastic fights in there. But, like, they're putting these fights on against a 52-year-old woman. And a jacked up woman. It's like, hold on, is she the female version of
Saturday? That's a seriously strong accusation. A jacked up woman, Dan.
Huh? Yeah. All right. Anyway, but it's like, hold on, is this another Sakuraba? They're trying. You know, why would you put a 52-year-old woman in there who hasn't fought since, like you said, year 2000? Why not put a decent fight on for Gabby Garcia to fight? You know, to a proper. Right, they like these beasts versus beasts and make it happen.
Enter into the open weight championship with Shane Carwin and all them. That'd be all right, I'd say.
See, that fight I'm looking forward to, Shane Carwin. You know, I'm looking forward to having him back. But you just wish that rest of the card would be good like that, you know. And This is what
my argument is, Dan, and it was the same when Bellator. I know I'm bringing this up again and I won't let it go, but it's the same with Bellator. Bellator do this. Bellator have a good prospect roster. They do have a decent roster, but then they put on these fucking fights that belong in a circus tent. Yeah. And this is what Rizin's doing. Like, who is going to watch this?
But at the same time, I'll say this about Bellator. At least their regular show, and let's say out of the five events, you might have two events that have got a couple of the freak fights on there. That you know, so you do get decent cards. Like you had Benson Anderson fight a couple of weeks ago, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Where's he going?
I don't know where he's going.
Oh, have I pissed him off?
I think his doorbell rang. Or else, no. I think this phone went off.
Well, how about you, Rob? What do you think?
It's to be honest, it's a bit of a joke, but like we shouldn't really be that surprised because Ryzen have done this so many times. They've done so many freak show fights. Pride have done it, and you know we're the same people who used to watch Pride and say this is amazing. This is exactly the same thing. I know it's women, but it's exactly the same thing as Pride used to do. They used to put people who
the Bob Sapp of the women's division.
Yeah, I think she compared it to Ryzen CEO compared it to Bob Sapp versus Nogueira. I don't, because at least Nogueira was a very good fighter, but yeah, it's the same thing as it's the Japanese model. That's what it is. It's freak show fights. The Japanese crowd will absolutely love it because they love Gabby Garcia because she's a woman and she's like 220 pounds. And they love the Japanese girl because she's Japanese. So it's a Japanese model. That's what it is.
Say Japanese.
Japanese.
Right, let's move it on, and let's speed it up a bit, okay? So, yeah. Before you ask, yes, this news was typed for last week's show, not blaming Carl. Former UFC welterweight and lightweight champion BJ Penn, who returns from retirement, has been postponed on several occasions, has another return bout. It was reported that he would meet featherweight prospect Yair Rodriguez in the main event on January the 15th, fight night in Phoenix. What do we think of the matchup, and is this literally... an old legend getting given to a young lion, and he's going to get chewed up.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. I think at this point, I think I was watching the MMA Beat, I think it was, and they were talking about the matchmaking that BJ's getting. It's a really boxing style matchmaking. They're feeding the young gun legend so they can take his name. I don't really like the fight. If BJ was coming back, I think the best fight for him was the likes of a Dennis Siver or someone in his, I suppose, same age bracket and experience bracket. I think this is a nightmare of a matchup for BJ Penn. I think it's an absolute nightmare. I think he's going to be smaller than Yair Rodriguez, even though he fought at lightweight. I think he's going to be slower. He's going to be less powerful, less dynamic, everything. I think it's just a nightmare matchup for BJ Penn.
See, everything you said there, Rob, I hope is not going to be true. You know, I hope BJ does come, you know, has a second shot at his title run or whatever it is he wants to call it, his fight career. I hope he does turn up and he's faster. He's more, you know, more on the ball. But like you said, it does look like they're just, you know, putting him in there for as a gatekeeper, so to speak. Yeah. You know, but I would have liked to have seen like a super fight, him against, I don't know, again, one of the Diaz brothers, most probably, or even when he fought GSP, something just crazy, GSP. You know, something crazy like that. It's BJ Penn, he is a legend. When you look at him, half the people who are listening on this much still won't know who he is from back in the days or how he won his when he fought Carl Uno and people like that. You think they don't know who he is.
Yeah.
I would like to see a super fight, but it just seems like, I don't know.
That Daniel Mulvihill, are you and Sydney Wayne that obviously Fight Talk listeners don't know their MMA?
No, some of them just might be at a younger generation who don't know.
Yeah. Good save. What a save. Yeah, I love BJ Penn. Like, I literally, like, for years, when I'd be out running, I used to listen to BJ Penn's entrance music. It was like Hawaiian, whatever. And it's like the calmest ever music to run to. So you think, why the hell are you listening to that? But it was just because it was BJ Penn. You knew what was about to happen. Absolutely love BJ, an absolute legend. I hope upon hope, but it's very hard. They're giving him an absolute stickler to come back to.
But it'd be lovely if he beats him. It'd be fucking lovely.
That would be gorgeous. So following massive success of Irish fighters at the IMAF World Championships, Team Ireland had another successful showing at this year's European Championships. Although there was no gold this time around, two fighters, Alexander O'Sullivan and Lee Hammond, medalled at lightweight, winning bronze and silver respectively, and Dave Yodie Fogarty, who was quickly becoming one of the most successful amateurs in the country, captured silver at flyweight. So another successful stint for the Irish fighters again. And as much as I'm going to say what do we think of the Irish results, phenomenal for the Irish team going over. It's great to see it. But it was something I was reading. Petey Carroll done an article. I was only reading it there just before we recorded today. So again, as always, if you don't check out Petey Carroll, check him out. Apart from Robert Palin, he's one of the best MMA writing journalists. His stuff is phenomenal. And he was talking about... He was interviewing the three lads, and he was basically saying that the new rule set is getting the lads' input. It's allowing lads, like the lads are saying, basically the experience they had over them. It was in Prague, wasn't it? So the experience they've had in Prague is like a year's worth of experience, as in fights. They're fighting different style fighters. Like Lee Hammond had five fights in 5 days. Crazy. And he's just saying the experience and the wealth and the new rule set, the shin pads, all that, that all allows this to happen. And in a way, MMA is becoming like amateur boxing the way it is in the Olympics. You have so many fights and a build up. Congratulations to all of Team Ireland. Everyone went over there and flew the flag for Ireland and represented us brilliantly, as we always tend to do in combat sports. But I just think, for me, I wanted to touch on what Petey wrote and hammer. Yeah, I think it is amazing for young fighters here, for amateurs to step up. I was a bit apprehensive with the real sets, again, like everybody was, but you can see them paying dividends now, and young amateurs are getting wealth of experience and fighting and representing their country as well, which is huge. But congratulations to everyone involved, and that's my little piece on it.
Nice. Well, I was going to say, with that rule sets, with the shin guards, of course, it works really well, especially in that tournament base where you do have, you know, potentially five fights in that space of that tournament. Obviously, his fight safety comes first. You don't want to pick up any niggling injuries, or et cetera. So in that sense, it does work. And yeah, you're right. They've had much more fights than they would have done if they didn't enter a tournament like that and trying to wait around it once every 2-3 months to be able to fight over whether in the UK or in Ireland. So yeah, it's a good tournament based, and I would like to see that model, and I'm sure it will, from from the hearing from a few people, that's the model that if it does go to the Olympics, that's the kind of model and criteria that they would use to take to make an Olympic sport, which I think is great.
And I'm delighted Rob gets no time in it. Delighted. Go on, Rob. I'll give you 10 seconds.
It was good. No. Well done, lads. Yeah. everything you said, the article was really good. Everyone should check it out if you haven't seen it. And fucking Dave Fogarty is just racking up the medals. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even fighting.
My wedding photographer.
How long? Yeah, well done.
Yeah. If you can make me look good, he can do it. And finally, moving away from MMA, Ireland's own. Everyone's favourite Irish competitive fighting woman, Katie Taylor, made her successful pro boxing debut last Saturday, stopping Poland's Karina Kopczynska in less than a minute into the third round at Wembley Arena in London. Did we watch the fight, and what did we think of Katie's performance?
Yeah, it was a great fight. I actually didn't see it live. You were live streaming it illegally over the web on Facebook. So I seen the end of
fucking
it.
Fucking right, I was.
Yeah. So I seen that end of it, but I watched it after, and it was just what you expect of Katie Taylor, except she looked a little bit more aggressive. Now, it's not that she's not aggressive in her fights, but she looked a little bit more aggressive in this one. I think the level of opponent, I think Katie Taylor was just so much ahead. Her amateur boxing credentials are like above everybody,
second
really.
To none.
Yeah, second to none. And she looked great. She kicked the shit out of her, basically. That's all you can say. She kicked the shit out of her.
Boxed the shit out of her.
Yeah.
And no, I didn't watch the fight, unfortunately. So there you go.
That's it, Dan. Your Irish passport is revoked. Katie's, her hand speed was phenomenal. Just her shot selection, the speed is phenomenal.
The left hook to the body.
Yeah, what I loved about it as well, and this will show you how much what this podcast is about, MMA podcast, they were talking about Ronda Rousey, comparing Katie Taylor to Ronda Rousey, except they were calling her Rousey. They were calling her Ronda Rousey. So we had Forrest Whitaker and Ronda Rousey. But, Katie Taylor, she's fighting again on the 10th of December as well, so she's not hanging around, she's getting in there. Yeah, so, phenomenal. Well done, Katie Taylor. We're all behind you. The Nation, as always, we always support our athletes. Dan, you might feel a little left out here. We're talking about Air
Nation. I heard she's coming on the show, right?
Yeah, she's on next week. Yeah, Katie Taylor, The invite's there anyway. If she turns up, that's the main thing. I announce our brother on a regular basis, so you know what I mean? You never know. We could get in there. Her brother's a pretty badass fucking K-1 kickboxer. Fuck me. let's just say boxing runs in the family. Right, so, gentlemen, that was your quickfire news. It wasn't that quickfire because there's a lot, but... look, we got through it, and aren't we better off for it? So, here we go. Let's talk about it. This has set social media between your hardcore MMA fans to your casuals. It's almost like a civil war in MMA, if you like. People are giving out saying, no, Aldo shouldn't get it because he got flattened in 13 seconds and Conor shouldn't be stripped because he's the two-time history. This set Facebook, social media, Reddit, whatever, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever you want, to set them all on fire. Conor McGregor was stripped / relinquished his UFC featherweight title. So basically, less than 1 year since Conor won the title. And again, what are we, 2 weeks out? 2 weeks out from Conor creating history and becoming the first two-time champion simultaneously. He's been belt taken off him. So straight off, what's the thoughts on it? Like, what are we thinking?
I'll go first then. Again, I it's not clear whether he relinquished it or, you know, was stripped of it. Them two words there makes a big difference. Whether the UFC went, hey, we're taking that belt off you, or Conor's gone, hey, look, guys, I've done my job. I set history. You can have that belt back. As we know, he hasn't made any comments. He hasn't made any, you know, statements, etc. Especially not on social media. However, it was bound to happen, but I think it's a business move as well. Whether he's relinquished it or stripped, at the end of the day, you know, he made history. That can't be taken away from him. Just because he hasn't won off two belts in his hands, he still made history. And I'm just going to go out on a limb here. Imagine, all right, yes, some people are arguing Jose Aldo shouldn't just become the champ because he had an interim title and they've already changed the website. But I don't know about you guys, but I could see if the opportunity is right, if the money's right and the contracts are right, you could have an Aldo McGregor 2 and then McGregor wanting to come back for his belt again. Could you imagine the pay-per-view on that? So hold on, you've taken the belt away from me, or I've given it up or whatever. I'll let you keep it a little bit safe for me. You can borrow it, so to speak, and I'm coming back for it, whenever that may be, whether it drops that way down to that weight class or not. But again, it's the fight game, man. He can't hold on to it forever, you know. He's always going to be talk. Well, no one took it from me apart from UFC. I gave it up, or no one actually beat me for it. So, and there must be a little bit of a bitter taste in Aldo's mouth as well. I mean, I'm sure he didn't want to become the champion like that, and he truly can't ever go around and go, "I'm the true champion," because, like everyone's saying on social media, you got knocked out in 13 seconds by the guy who was the champ. You've just been handed the belt, you know? So, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead now.
No, so my thing in this, right, Dan, I can appreciate what you're saying. I've done some homework, right? So, like, what you're saying is, you know, you can't stay the champ forever. So, I'm going to throw out a few names and numbers at you here, okay? So, Conor, basically, he's one of the first, I think he is the first UFC fighter to be stripped when he's actually currently active. Okay, so Conor has fought 3 times in 2016, and then his last fight obviously was winning the belt in 2015 in December. Okay, so from now to then in 12 months, he's fought 4 times. Okay, so DC, by the time he defends, Daniel Cormier, by the time he defends his belt, you're going to be looking at about 18-19 months before he defends his belt. Randy Couture went 14 months without defending his belt. GSP went 19 months without defending his belt. Cain Velasquez went 13 months without defending his belt. Anthony Pettis went 15 months before defending his belt. Jose Aldo had 2 breaks of 13 months defending his belt and 15 months defending his belt, respectively. So Conor has fought 3 times, like I said, outside the featherweight division in 2016, making history, winning the lightweight title at 205, and breaking every pay-per-view record in sight doing it. Jose Aldo has only fought once in 2016, defeating Frankie Edgar at UFC 200. Again, Conor has fought 3 times in 2016. Max Holloway, who is fighting for the now interim at 206, has fought once in 2016, defeating Ricardo Lamas at UFC 199. Anthony Pettis has fought 3 times in 2016, losing on 2 occasions. Out of all them fighters, we have 5 fights. Conor has fought 3 times. Conor has also stated that he defended both titles in 2017. So he has freely said he will defend his belt. Now, when I seen this first, I also want to answer another question. I realize I'm throwing numbers there and I'm sounding a little ranty. But another thing I want to air as well. People are giving out that Jose Aldo has got the belt. I had a little thing with somebody last night. He said Jose Aldo never won the UFC belt. Jose Aldo was brought in from WEC as the featherweight champion. There was no such division as the featherweight division in the UFC at that time. Mm-hmm. So Jose Aldo, as he was the current WEC champion, was then given the UFC champion the belt, and he defended it numerous occasions. So let's wash that one away. They made the interim belt between Frankie and Jose at UFC 200. Jose won that, so he became the interim champion. Has been vacated the belt or relinquished or stripped or whatever way you want to do it. As Jose is the interim title champ holder, he automatically becomes the reigning champion now. Yeah. Now, let's not kid ourselves and dance around the purse on the dance floor like women at every wedding you ever attend. That interim title at 206 is trying to save the card due to the pullouts. It's trying to make the fight bigger than what it is.
Yeah.
People talk about worthy title shots, etc. Showtime Pettis is no way near worthy of a title shot at featherweight. Max Holloway is. Max Holloway, for me, is the best featherweight in the UFC. For me, hands down. I think he picks apart Jose Aldo in a fight. But that's a different story. It's a different tale. Now, when I was looking at this, I was real, oh, no, the UFC, reining in to get to me point. I was like, no, the UFC, you know, Conor, you know, he's not going to go back to 145. I didn't think he'd go back to 145 personally. I was like, so the UFC have to. But then when I started looking at all them figures and facts and numbers and stuff, the history is there. You know, how can you let GSP go 19 months? So what if Conor came back, right? He just won the lightweight title, right? So if you look at the stats, Jose Aldo went 13, 15 months, all them stats. Technically, that gives Conor right now a year to defend his lightweight belt, right? A year to defend his lightweight belt. So what is it to say that Conor, as much as Dana White has said, he's out till June, why can't Conor, or May, whatever, why can't Conor come back then and fight for the featherweight title?
Yeah,
and then fight for the lightweight title next. That gives him, still gives him that year that other fighters have been given that allowance. Like, Conor McGregor is the biggest star in the UFC. Now, the funny thing is, as much as I'm saying these facts, I sort of almost agree with the stripping of the title. I think it's better for the featherweight division as a whole for it to be a real. But Neil Seary put out a tweet, and Neil Seary literally put a nail and got a hammer and hammered it home because it was the best fact of the lot. No matter who, be it Jose Aldo, Frankie Edgar, Max Holloway, Showtime Pettis, no matter who becomes the champion of that division, as it is Jose Aldo right now, there's no way Jose Aldo can walk around going, "I'm the featherweight champion."
That's what I'm
saying. No, you fucking ain't. And if you think that Conor McGregor is going to turn up to the next press conference with two belts wrapped around himself, you have another fucking thing coming. I can guarantee you, Conor McGregor will milk the fact that that belt got taken off him, and rightly so.
Yeah, I think you make some really good points. I agree with your assessment that you kind of agree that he should be stripped, but the circumstances are wrong. I think before the last fight, if they told him, or they said, okay, immediately after this fight, we're stripping you of the title, I don't have too much of a disagreement with that. I've said that I think Conor should have been stripped of the title before that. Now, I do, in hindsight, I kind of think, you know, that history-making moment, I do agree with them allowing him to have the title, but the circumstances that they're stripping him in, it's clearly just a business decision. It's not a sporting decision. It's not because Andy Pettis or Max Holloway need some kind of interim title. The first thing, why is there an interim title? We know it's a business decision, but what argument can they make apart from, oh, we want to try and make some more money to have an interim title? Technically, they have an active champion now. Jose Aldo is the active champion. So there's
so you don't need interim title.
There's no interim title needed in that situation. The third thing is, Jose Aldo, I do agree he should be champion. I don't see why people are, if McGregor gets stripped, I don't see how people are arguing he shouldn't be champion because he's the interim title holder. Just like when Conor won the title, and if Jose Aldo was stripped, Conor would have been the champion. That's the way it works. But I just don't agree with the circumstances that he was stripped in. But I do agree that, in hindsight, if McGregor doesn't fight at that weight class, he should be stripped. You were talking about the time that champions have stayed out for. That is true, but the difference between the likes of, say, a Jose Aldo or a Frankie Edgar who didn't fight for quite a while, that was through injury or through different circumstances. In this case, it's McGregor saying, I'm not fighting at this division. He's already had three fights outside of the division. And then if he is saying to the UFC, we don't know what's happening in the backstage or behind the scenes, but if he is saying to the UFC, okay, my next fight is at lightweight, not featherweight. What can you do there? You're kind of forcing the UFC to play that hand. And then also, something that you do have to think about, if this was a stripping of McGregor and it wasn't a relinquishing, which I kind of side with, I don't think McGregor would have relinquished the title, especially considering he didn't come out and say it. If he was relinquishing the title, I was actually talking to Garrett in work today, if he was relinquishing the title, what would he do? He'd be out saying, oh, look, I have to give them the title. I have to make them beg for it. They can't beat me.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
If he was doing it, that's the way it would go. It wouldn't be, all right, just take the title, UFC. You can announce it on some fight night in Australia. It just wouldn't go like that. It just doesn't make any sense.
The thing that catches me with Conor right now is his silence is deafening.
Deafening, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Conor is not... As much as I, from what I believe, Conor is quite quiet in his personal life. As in, when it comes to promoting himself and this sort of stuff, like he famously said, they'll need an army to take the belts off me. It was a great Water for Whispers thing today, actually. About but Water for Whispers is like a mockery paper here, Dan. They make up bullshit stories, if you know what I mean. So they done a thing. If the picture was like a load of soldiers getting out the back of a tank. Like,
I think I saw it, yeah. I think I saw it, yeah.
Quality. But, like, Conor's silence is deafening, and Coach Kavanagh put out. It was the from Goodfellas, just Ray Liotta just laughing his ass off when he was asked about it. So again, we didn't see that because, you know, we had to go onto the MMA website to see that tweet. But look, it's for me, Conor Silence is, it's crazy. Like, I put a picture up of Jesse Pinkman sitting there all nervous saying, oh, I'm looking at Conor's Twitter handle, like, just to see what's happening. But
isn't that crazy though? For like that, for a social media, for someone to be quiet, and yet we're still looking at social media to see what the hell's happening. Like, he's still getting us talking. He hasn't even said anything on his social media.
Yeah.
And that's probably by design. Like, Conor is just known to be a social media king. Like, it's probably master. By design that he hasn't said anything. And I think you have to read into something like that, especially with the likes of Conor.
You could read it into so many different ways. You could read it into, oh, whether he's just spending time with his missus and you know, he's had enough of the social media, he just wants a break.
Yeah.
Whether it'll be legality, he can't say anything, or where, do you know what I mean? It could be any of those things. But, you know, for me, but I would second the point that Rob made. And yes, no, your facts are correct about the other champions who didn't defend their title. But it was because, I'm sure, majority of them, they were still fighting that weight division. However, whether it would be through injury or their opponents pulling out, they weren't able to defend their titles. But, you know, who knows? And, you know, people going, oh, maybe he didn't relinquish his title. Maybe it's just to tick off his bucket list. He's done the two titles and he's gone, hey, I have that back. I'll come back for it later. Who knows? Who knows? At the end of the day, there are no rules, really.
He's going after Woodley's title.
Yeah.
I think so.
You never know.
I've got this other belt when I come back again. Knock out whoever if it is Aldo and still at the time, knock him out again. That's the way I see it playing. But there are no set rules. UFC setting the standard. If they want to make this change, then that change is business. At the end of the day, it's always business. You know,
I do have to say one thing. Just before we go on, I have to point to my Mystic Noel. Was after he beat Diaz, we sort of said, "What's next for everyone?" And I said, Eddie Alvarez, New York, he'll make history, do it all. And we were saying, no, he's injured. And I'm like, no, that's going to happen in New York. I said, he'll then win the lightweight title and he'll either vacate or be stripped of the featherweight. He'll make history. They'll allow him make history and then he'll stay at 55.
Mm-hmm.
Now I honestly think at this stage, and this isn't saying, some people are saying that the featherweight division is finished. No, it's not. There's loads of fighters down there. But for me, I genuinely think the bigger fights for Conor are at 55.
Yeah, I think that's his best. Like, anyway, I think that's his ideal weight class.
The likes of Khabib, Ferguson. Do you know what I mean? There's great fights. RDA, you know, RDA is going to come back. You know what I mean? If Donald Cowboy Cerrone came there back to 55, I don't think he will. But do you know what I mean? There's a lot of great fights.
I do also think that it's a mistake to say that he's cleared out the featherweight division. He hasn't. He's cleared out a lot of the contenders in that division, but even though Edgar lost, he hasn't beat Edgar. Even though he beat Holloway before, I think that's
kind of unresolved. I'd love to see that fight.
That title fight, I think, still needs to happen.
For me, my dream matchup there would be Conor to stay at 55, get a couple of wins, Max Holloway to beat Pettis, get the featherweight title, defend it a couple of times, and 2 years down the road, have a 45-55 Max Holloway, Conor McGregor. Be phenomenal.
Be amazing. I do think you have to talk about what comes after this as well, because assuming that we're saying that this is the UFC's stripping Conor of the belt, what happens in the next contract negotiations for his next fight?
That somebody brought up a point actually there where they said maybe he's relinquished it and they've given him the wish of a bit of stake in the company.
Maybe.
Who knows? Listen,
that was the carrot, you know?
Like you said, as long as...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, until we sit, you know, like we're all sitting here looking at our screens going, come on, McGregor, give us something. What's going on your end? Until he actually comes out and gives a statement. And I know UFC to a certain degree has given their statement, but until McGregor comes out and we hear it from his mouth, what's true and what's not, it's a hard conversation to have. I'm sure we'll have another show where we talk about, hey, this is what McGregor said. What do we think of this? You know, but until that happens, it's kind of hard to... We're only just speculating, aren't we? You know, or what the story is.
Still hasn't said it.
just based on, as I said a while ago, just based on McGregor himself, what we know of him, I just find it hard to think that he'd say, yes, just strip me the title and announce it on some fight night. He, he just had to have coming out and saying something. It's more likely for him to come out and have like a funeral for the belt than it is what happened on that fight night. To be honest, like some kind of pro wrestling kind of gimmick thing where they have a, like, honestly, that seems more likely because it just doesn't seem in his character for that to happen.
Well, I guess we need to reach out to Connor and see if we can get him on the show and get an official statement.
Exactly. Yeah, you see you on next week with Katie Taylor. We have a pack show next week.
Never say never, my friend.
Yeah, but the big thing I take is like I said at the start, the civil war between the sort of old school MMA fans and the casuals. Like, let's be honest, a lot of the casual fans, ask them anyone outside the UFC, or sorry, outside of McGregor, they won't have to tell you. Do you know what I mean? They wouldn't have to tell you who the heavyweight champion is, the middleweight champion is. They wouldn't have to do that. So in a way, the hysteria being caused by it is by a lot of the newer age, not knowing who BJ Penn is, the fans, you know. But at the same time, you know, UFC has to be cold-blooded in some ways with the stripping. So I can understand that if Conor has said that he's not going to go to 45 again, makes 100%. You know what I mean? If he said he wants to break and defend the lightweight, they have to keep the division moving. So, you know, from that sense, I can understand it. It's disappointing because he's Air Conor, and I was deadly seeing him with the two titles, and he is. But like we said, Dan, and you said it, and Neil Seary said it, and Rob said it, and everybody's fucking said it, no matter who the champion is, coming around with a plastic belt, you know, because it's not. Until you beat the guy who beat the guy, you haven't beat
And you can be sure as hell that McGregor is going to be there, like Rob said earlier, at certain press conferences and going, you're not the champ. Yeah. I'm the champ. I handed you that belt. You can give it. It's stuff like that, you know what I mean?
That's what he's going to do, yeah.
That's exactly what he's going
to
do.
I do think at a certain point, though, it does have to be, you know, if Aldo or Holloway wins and they defend the title, it's kind of like everyone has to move on. But I do agree. Yeah. That's just a huge elephant in the room anytime McGregor's going to be in a press conference.
The great thing about it as well, Dan, and you sort of touched on it a little bit, is what will happen is, let's say, for example, Max Holloway does win it and, you know, goes on three times. No matter what that division is, like, if Conor just goes, fancy fighting at 45 again, it's an instant title fight.
Yeah.
And it's an instant pay-per-view fucking
sellout.
You know what I mean? So, you know, in a way, it's strategical. Yeah. You know, he's like you said, Dan, I can see him, you know, thanks for spit shining me belt for me, but I want to fuck him back. Like, do you know what I mean? You can see all that shit, you know? Yeah. So,
but you just said about him coming back and make a good story. You can just imagine that what do you want to call it, the embedded or the Cowboys title. Now he's coming back for his title. Yeah. And you can see that whole thing playing out of him coming back.
You know? UFC 215 revisited.
Yeah. Something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, quality. No, absolute quality.
Go full
yeah.
Bellator and they'll do like fucking promos with masks on and shit.
Now, well into it. So come here, Dan. We're going to move on here, right? So, Dan, you are unaware of this, okay? So this is a weekly top five European fighters. We won't spend that much time on it. So basically, what we're doing is we're looking for fighters outside the UFC who are from under the flag of Europe. Dan, we're letting English people still qualify,
thanks.
Okay? So basically, what we're looking at is, number one, the criteria, they're decent, you know, they're obviously a good fighter. But we're going to then say, how would they do in their division? Do you know what I mean? So if you were to put them into the UFC, how would they stand? How would they fare? How would they do? Okay. So you don't know the list, Dan. So me and Rob sort of combined this together. I agree or disagree. Everyone is going to disagree or agree, whatever it be. You know, that's the idea of this, is it is an opinion idea of a list. Yeah. So just before we go into it, for example, we have a few noble mentions, okay? So, for example, I was pushing this to be in the top five. Didn't make it. Rob played hardball. Is Ivan Butchinger, that Conor B for the title at Cage. It was Conor's last fight for Cage Warriors. Yeah. Ivan Butchinger has gone on a 10-fight win streak since then. So he's fighting a lot in M1 Global, is it? But Ivan Butchinger is legit, right? He's, like I said, gone on a 10-fight win streak. He didn't make the top five. Paul Semtex Daly. We all know Paul Daly. We don't need to break that down. Absolute knockout artist. Incredible fighter. He didn't make the top five. We've Linton Vassell. We've Linton Fasel from Bellator coming off a good result over Francis Cormont in the most recent Bellator.
He domination.
He didn't make it. Just outside. Other notable mentions is big, the white Mike Tyson, John Phillips. He didn't make it. The reason why he didn't make it, he just, with that weight cut last time around, I honestly, this is, I said this to Rob, I think you put John Phillips in the UFC, he's taking heads. Honestly think that. Luke Barnett, former UFC fighter, now fighting under Venator.
Just quickly, did you see the ACB announcement?
Oh, is he fighting with ACB? Who's he fighting?
I'll let you guys see it, and then we'll talk about it on the next show.
Okay. Norman Park, former UFC fighter, fought on ACB recently enough. He didn't make it, just outside. Norman, again, you stick Norman back in that division, I think he does good. Another notable mentions here for us is, we won't give all the notable mentions.
That's fine. Let's go five.
We'll go into it. Right. So number five, we have, I'm going to say it wrong, we have Andrei Koryshkov. Koryshkov, that wasn't too bad. The welterweight fighter out of Bellator.
Yeah.
So, Rob, you take that one away. This was Rob wanting him in the top five.
Yeah, I think he has to be there. If you look at his record, he's 19-2. His only losses are to Douglas Lima and Ben Askren. Ben Askren, as we know, one of the best fighters outside the UFC. Unfortunately, for this list, he's not European, so we couldn't put him in there. But I think with Koryshkov, he's been in there with Benson Henderson, absolutely dominated Benson Henderson. Now, that was in the welterweight division. I think Benson is a little bit small for that division, but still, what Koryshkov done to him, you have to look at that. His only other loss, it was against, as I said, Douglas Lima, and he actually beat Douglas Lima a couple of fights ago as well. So I think if you look at what he can do in there, in that division, I think he'd be competitive at the welterweight division. I don't think he's in probably the top five in the UFC if he gets in there, but I do think he'd be competitive, and I think he has plenty of room to grow as well. He's still young, so definitely a good show with Koryshkov.
Nice. Number four was another one of Rob's picks. We have Vitaly Minogov. He was a heavyweight. His last fight was in EFM, but he was the former heavyweight Bellator champion. He got stripped. Speaking of stripping, he got stripped of his title. So, Rob, that was your pick again there with Vitaly Minogov.
The Russians. I think it.
Rob, your three picks to give it away. Your three picks were all Russian. But anyway,
fucking hell. With Minokov, there's not that many good heavyweights out there. There really isn't. If you look at the UFC's heavyweight division, it's fairly thin. And then outside the UFC, there's not really anybody there of note. There's a couple in Europe, but not that many, especially in the US. It's fairly shallow. So I think with Minokov, he's 18-0. Never been defeated, and beat the likes of Czech Congo, fought in Bellator EFN. EFN's a bit dodgy, but who cares? I think he'd be quite competitive in the UFC heavyweight division. That's why he has to go in there.
Nice. Number three for me, this was my first selection in the pick, Dan, that I argued and got in. Funny, I only got two in the top five former guest on the show, Saul Rogers, for me, only for the visa issue we had at the time, Saul Rogers would be in the UFC. Put on great displays recently over Andre Winner, and then at ACB as well, looked absolutely phenomenal. I think Saul Rogers, for me, could have tried to argue him up to number one. I really like Saul Rogers. I like his style of fighting. He's hard, he's gritty, he's a great wrestler, he's great submissions. I just think he's a great prospect, and I honestly think he is one of the hottest prospects out of Europe. And I'm sure I was shocked if he's not going to be on the next London card in March.
Just on that note, I was lucky enough to referee his bout on the ACB Glasgow, and it's nice to see, like, he up until the point, obviously, where they revealed about his visa issue on the Ultimate Fighter, he was one of my favorite people to watch. And to be honest, it's good to see that. That setback hasn't really set him back. He's still active. He's still fighting. He's still relevant. He's still fighting on the bigger shows. So I think it won't be too long when he's back out, when he's back on the UFC. Or even if he's not on the UFC, you'll see him on the other bigger shows as well, making a name for himself if he hasn't already.
Yeah. I have to say as well, just from a personal perspective, Noel, I don't know if you probably agree with me. Super nice guy when we talk to him.
Very super nice. Super nice guy. I agree that.
I thought he's a fucking asshole. No, it didn't. Sal Rogers was it. He was just a cool man, wasn't he? He was super laid back. He was cool. He was chatting with us before he actually came on, before we hit the record.
Eating his dinner.
Yes. Super nice guy. And like, I love to have him on the show anytime, especially when we're back in the studio. Well, he's a super nice guy. I'd like to talk to him in more detail rather than just about his upcoming fight. He's got a great backstory. And now we're moving into number two and number one here, Dan. So there's probably names jumping at you. This one probably. We won't, because it's Rob and it's Russian again. We got Magomed Khalidov.
Khalidov, yeah, what a beast. He's probably the one fighter, apart from Fedor, that the UFC just haven't signed yet. Doesn't seem like he wants to go. I think he's making a shit ton of money at KSW.
All right, I'm going to stop you there. All right.
You going to say that after you stop us? Yeah.
No. So you didn't see the announcement for ACB, who I just said. Announcement for Luke Khalidov. Barnett.
Barnett. Is he fighting Khalidov, is he?
Yes, sir.
Holy shit.
And
it was announced. See, this one, unfortunately, I think it went under the radar over the weekend with the whole UFC thing going on and the McGregor thing. No, if you open your inbox, I've sent you the official announcement in your inbox. If you open it, you can see that. Yeah, so that's the announcement. I think that's set for March, I believe.
Luke Barnett, but holy fuck, that's a tough fight for Luke Barnett.
This is sort of awesome because our top five, it can vindicate our top five. That's awesome. So yeah, that's a big fight. But you know what, Rob? Like, as we spoke about this before, the same way, we won't give away number one yet, but the same way the challenge number one fight for them too. So yeah, that's awesome. I see that there now, Dan. Yeah.
It's a tough fight for Barnett, but however, you know, he is awkward as well. I mean, he obviously have the range. A good takedown defense, but you know, it's a very good fight to happen. It's one of my, outside the UFC, it's one of my favorite fights that I'm looking forward to, man.
Oh, definitely. And right, to be fair, just before we move on, with Khalidov, he's beat some good guys, but you could also say that in parts, he may be untested in certain areas. Like his last win was over a guy, split decision over a guy without a Wikipedia page. So just so you know.
I don't have a Wikipedia page, right? So, Dan, right? We've got up to number two. Any chance you know who number one is?
No. Outside of UFC, these guys are, yeah?
Yeah.
In European.
European number one. No, go on. There's loads. It could be anybody. It could be another Russian. I don't know.
He's not Russian.
Give him a weight class or
bantamweight.
Outside of UFC, bantamweight. Fuck no, it's gone.
You refereed him.
I refereed him recently.
Trains out at Jackson Winklejohn. No, didn't always.
Who, Tom?
Tom who?
Yeah, Dukumwa.
Tom the Fire Kid Dukumwa.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I've seen Tom Dukumwa fight. You're breaking up a bit there, Dan, sorry.
I was going to say, that's a good number one.
Yeah, I do. Do you know what? Like, I've seen Tom Dukumwa when he fought Lochnan here. It was a very close, contentious fight. They came back and absolutely destroyed Rooney here. And then when I seen him, when I went over to Birmingham and sat as a spectator to watch him, I remember saying, I think I tweeted, I've just watched world class or something or whatever. Yeah. I said something. I've just watched something that probably the greatest fighter. I can't remember what it was. And Tom Dukumwa actually
retweeted
what it
was. You put. I think I just watched someone die.
No, I don't think I said that. No.
It got dark.
I witnessed
greatness.
I just witnessed greatness, something like that. Yeah. And I remember it leads me into this. One of the people who just missed out on our top five was his opponent. I walked out of what's that Birmingham arena called that we were in, Dan?
NEC.
Yeah, so I just walked out.
Birmingham arena. That'd be great.
What's the name of that arena in Birmingham? I just walked out and I met Alan Philpott, and Alan Philpott said to me, "I want him."
Fuck.
It's a fight I want. And I was looking, like, in my head, I was thinking, how the fuck could you watch that fight and think, I want to fight him after what he just done? But that's credit to Alan Philpott. And Alan Philpott was one of our notable mentions there. Like this, potentially, like I just said with Luke Barnett, Alan Philpott, not many people want to fight Tom Dukinwa. And this is an opportunity that if Alan Philpott was to get a win in this fight, holy fucking shitballs. Yeah. This fires Alan Philpott. It fires him huge. The Apprentice will go huge. Just want to say a couple of people that missed out here was Michael Venom Page didn't make the top five. The reason why we just felt at the moment it's hype. If you look at his last performance, so is the hype real or not? We haven't seen if it's real or not. So that's why he didn't make it. Paddy the Baddy Pimplett just missed out as well. Again, Paddy was due to look like he was going to sign for the UFC. And again, we sort of took that. If you stuck Paddy Pimplett into the featherweight division, put him in the top five, how would he do? At the moment, I said at the time, I think it was a great decision from Paddy to stay with Cage Warriors, get a few more fights before he goes on. And another one is my man, Skeletor, Reese McKee. I have him down in brackets as huge prospect. I just think it's too early for Reese. I don't doubt, everybody knows, Jesus, if you don't know, I'm a Reese McKee fan. Have you ever listened to this show? I just think it's just too early for Reese McKee, but definitely is a huge prospect. So there's the list. We'll shout it out from...
that's a good list.
So number one... go on, sorry, your partner's on the back.
I'm patting you on the back, but I also like to clarify that this was Rob and Noel's top five picks. Yeah. Okay.
Dan Mulvaney had nothing to do with this. So,
not at all.
So number one, we went with Tom Dukinwa. Number two, we went with Mamed Khalidov, probably saying it wrong again. Round number three, we went with Saul Rogers. Number four, we went with Vitaly Minagov. And then number five, we went with Andrei Korshkov. So it's a good list. Agree with it, disagree with it. We'll even post it up later. Yeah, we'll post it up on our Facebook and Twitter later on. So get over and say, you fucking idiots, just having a clue. Or whatever you want to say. So then, just moving it on, lads. Time is of an essence here, so let's fly along. What do you do with Neil Seary is the next topic. So Neil Seary, as I said, he honestly felt like the kid who dressed in his uniform on a bank holiday Monday and walked across the school to see the school gates locked on top. Bollocks. Neil Seary went to Belfast, cut weight, made weight, was ready to fight. Ian McCall fell ill, was advised by the doctors not to fight. What a horrible, horrible way for that to fall through. As much as Kelvin Gastelum screwed over Cowboy Cerrone, by the way, Kelvin Gastelum was fighting Tim Kennedy. But Neil Seary, you know, it was a little bit of back and forth. He got paid his show money, and then eventually Reebok put their hands in their pocket. And Neil Seary, being the absolute legend that he is, donated some of that to a charity.
Fair play, man.
Neil Seary is what John Lennon wrote Working Class Hero about. He's one of our own. We absolutely love him. He was looking to bow out in Belfast. Unfortunately, that fell through. He did say that he's not going to retire like that. He's not going to go out like that. He's asked then, I think, for UFC in March. Dan looks like he got a stone through his window. it looks like he's going to wait. It looks like he's
London.
Gonna fight in March in London. Yeah. So again, we speak a former guest as well, Neil Seary, obviously. A heartbreak though for that to happen, isn't it?
What actually happened to his opponent? I know he was taken ill, but what was the outcome? What was the reason? Food poisoning, not feeling well? No,
he just didn't feel well. I reckon he lives a beautiful life probably in California or something. He's up in Belfast. and last
fucking steak or something.
But no, last week or the week previous, the weather here in Ireland was fucking Baltic. You wouldn't leave a milk bottle out in it. And I'd say he's just the cold and he just couldn't wait. Your immune system, I'd imagine, when you're cutting weight, is vulnerable. So I would imagine he just picked up some sort of virus.
Would have been good to have an official statement. Like, obviously, you're falling ill, but you know, what is it? Anyone could turn and go, I'm not saying that he did, but it'd just be nice to clarify, look, I'm falling ill, I've got food poisoning, or, well, you know, like you said, I've got sickness and diarrhea, or I've got a cold, whatever it may be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is, and it just your heart melted for Neil Seary. Like, not like, you know, Neil Seary's a professional athlete. I'm sure these things happen, but you know, sometimes there's fighters pull out a day or two beforehand. But literally, you've weighed in, cut weight, you know, and the guy still
works. That's what's credit to me. Sorry, Rob. Back on work on Monday, and you know what? It's not until obviously he come onto your show and he spoke about. I didn't realize that he was still. Everyone's got his idea. Just because you're on UFC, you go full time, you give up your day job, man. Doesn't happen like that. And fair play to him, you know. Like, you know, I just want to finish off. My point is, and I'm glad he's not retiring like that, because that's not how he wants to retire. Every fighter wants to retire having a fight, win or lose, like we saw just past weekend in Australia. Exactly. And so I hope he does get his shot in Manchester, and I hope he gets a big fight as well. A good fight that he's going to have. Have a big fight, go out with a bang, win or lose. That's my say on that.
What's your thoughts, Ballum?
I was just thinking there, you're basically comparing Ian McCall to the aliens in Independence Day when they catch a cold and die. I don't know why that came to my head, but whatever. It's fucking bad for Neil Seary. You really did fail for him, because if you know anything about Neil Seary, he just loves to fight. So getting that paycheck, I'm sure, was brilliant, and I'm sure he loved that. But I'd say just missing that card and, you know, all that preparation leading up to it and everything. And it is a big fight. Now, even though he said that he was going to retire, it is a big fight. Like, that's still a huge fight to have in your resume. Ian McCall, who came into the UFC as the number one flyweight in the world, huge fight. So it's just a shame. But yeah. Okay. Did you say that you broke up when you were talking about Siri? Did he actually get a fight?
Who, me or Dan?
Yeah, you both broke up when you were talking about it.
There's no fight confirmed, though.
Yeah. I don't know who you put him in there exactly against. He was calling for Sergio Pettis and stuff like that. Obviously, Pettis got an opponent.
McCall again, if Ian McCall is fit and ready.
Yeah, problem fit and ready, but I'm sure there's a bit of hesitancy there taking a fight with Ian, if, you know, in case he pulls out again, because he hasn't fought in quite a long time due to, for whatever reasons. Sometimes
Demetrius Johnson. Get him in there, Demetrius Johnson.
But if that's the case, then you know, have a backup ready. You know, seriously, have a backup ready.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. Yeah. Let's end it on a highlight here, Rob. We can look ahead at Tough 24. We'll put that up on a post ourselves here. So let's go for MMA. This is Rob's new edition. This is MMA Fact or Fiction. So, Rob, you break it down and tell us exactly what this is.
Yeah, so I'm finally living my dream as a talk show, a game show host. And I'm going to give you a couple of questions. I'm going to get some team music for this. Going to get a band in, like the Jimmy Fallon Show, stuff like that. And we're going to have basically a form of a quiz. So basically, the premise of this game is that I've come up with 8 questions. Kind of questions. They're facts or are they fiction? You have to say if they're a fact or a fiction. The winner is the person who can guess if these statements are true.
Shit,
or not
I'm going head to head with now.
Yeah. Okay, so question number one, ding, ding, ding. Known as Tito Ortiz, the former UFC light heavyweight champion, forename is not actually Tito. His real name is Christopher Ortiz. Is that a fact or is that fiction? And somebody can keep score because I can't do it.
Get away from Google.
Fact.
Yeah, no Googling.
Fact. I'm not Googling. I'm keeping scores. Look.
So Dan's at fact.
Yeah, I'm going to go fact as well, in fairness. Who the fuck calls our kid Tito?
You're breaking up.
Can you hear me?
That's correct. His name isn't Tito, but his name is actually Jacob Ortiz. His middle name is Christopher. So that's a 0 for both of you. Somebody keep...
That's a fucking trick question.
It's not a trick question. His name is Jacob Ortiz.
Christopher Ortiz. So we have the option of saying neither.
Yeah, you just said his name is Christopher Ortiz or Tito, and we said, nah, Christopher, and then you fucking... I said, no, his name's not Tito.
One job.
His name isn't... Yeah, listen to the question again. Known as Tito Ortiz, the former UFC light heavyweight champion's forename is not actually Tito. His real name is Christopher Ortiz. Is that true? No, it's not true. His name isn't Christopher Ortiz.
Yeah. That is bollocks. Go on. Anyway.
Dan, it's one-off. Dan, it's one-off.
Nil-nil. Next question. Mirko Filipovic, affectionately known as Mirko Krokop, was not actually called Krokop. Early in his fighting career, Krokop went by the name Tiger. Is that faction? Faction? Fiction?
Faction.
Faction.
I can see why no one signed up to this TV game, man. To this game.
Yeah. Fuck.
Not true. I'm going to say
I'll go fact. I'll go against you. Fuck it, yeah. I think he got called Crow Cop for doing something.
Noel is correct. That's 1-0 to Noel. His name was Tiger at one point.
Damn.
Tiger uppercut!
Question number three. This is great. While not an active division in the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship did promote a super heavyweight fight in the past, featuring none other than Josh Barnett. Is that correct?
A super heavyweight fight.
Super heavyweight fight.
Yeah, I'm going to say true. Because Barnett comes in quite fat sometimes, man. Yeah, true.
Yeah, I'm going to say true as well.
Correct. 2-1 to Noel. Well done.
Yeah.
Who was he fighting? Just as a matter of interest.
He fought a fella called Gan.
You're breaking up.
Or Jan McGee, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, yeah. But it's definitely not a relation to broadcasting treasure Jimmy McGee. I know that.
All right, yeah. Broadcasting treasure.
up next, a tough one winner, Forrest Griffin, has been in the cage with the who's who of MMA, including making his pro debut against Jeff Monson. Is that correct or is that
true?
Incorrect.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, fiction. He did fight Jeff Monson at one point, but he made his debut against Dan the Beast Severn.
Ah, boss. It was against someone big. Yeah, fuck. I read it for fucking Griffin's book as well. Boss.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
He's fucking looking at me. Look at it. God, fight. It's up on me book fucking thing there.
So what's that? 2-1 still, is it?
Still 2-1.
Okay, up next, question number five. UFC 76, which went by the name UFC Knockout, ironically had no knockouts. Is that correct or is that incorrect?
It was the main event on it.
It was Keith Jardine and Chuck Liddell.
Oh, yeah, then I had a knockout. No, that went to a fucking... How long? No, that went, went to distance and he fucking beat him the decision.
I'm going to go false.
Yeah, I think Jardine and Liddell went to distance, didn't they? Fuck, think though.
So the question, UFC 76 went by the name UFC Knockout, but ironically it had no knockouts on the entire card.
False.
So it had no knockouts or it had a knockout?
No knockouts.
No, I'd say it had a knockout. Had to have a knockout, a whole card.
So is that you're saying false?
Well, yeah, because I had a knockout, so false, yeah.
Yeah. It's actually a fact. No knockouts on the UFC knockout card.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. Question number six, still 2-1.
Jeez, they call the next card FC decision.
Yeah.
So for anyone wanting to watch that event back again, don't watch it.
Don't watch it, yeah. There's a couple of submissions, though. There's a couple of submissions.
That is so true.
You're breaking up.
They're breaking up.
Now go on.
All right. Former WWE superstar Kurt Angle has had one amateur MMA fight. Fact or fiction?
Oh, do you count the movie?
We don't count a movie.
No, fact. No.
He has.
Yeah. No, hold on.
Go on. I'm going to say he has had one because all his wrestling.
I would have said false. Yeah, I would have said no, false.
I think he has had one.
Dan's correct. He's never had an MMA fight. Oh, so
that's
2-2.
That's 2-2.
Oh,
hold on. He was Kobe.
Yeah, Kobe. Great movie. Question number seven. Vitor Belfort's real name is Victor Gracie. True or false?
False.
Victor Gracie, why would he be Belfort? Why would he change Gracie? False. So he wouldn't change. He'd hold Gracie.
It is false. But he did use Victor Gracie as his ring name in his first couple of UFC fights.
Three all.
Final question. Question number eight. Joe Rogan was supposed to fight actor Wesley Snipes at one point. Fact or fiction?
Fact.
Fact.
That's true. Yes. 4-4. Yes. Can't believe it. I don't have a tiebreaker. So the draw on the fourth one.
Draw. Awesome. Yeah. I'm clear. I'm not breaking up to you.
No, you're grand.
Right, lads, so that wraps it up. So that's obviously Fight Talk. So as you can see on Rob's, it says follow us on Talk_Fight on Twitter. And obviously Fight Talk on both Facebook and Instagram. Check us out. We'll pop our list up later on. Thanks to MMA Mix for all your MMA needs. They're obviously good.
Because we've obviously Fight Talk.
And then Fight Star Ireland for all your fighters' needs. Your fighter's choice. Under one roof, be it jockstraps or chin guards, check them out and order online and tell them the obviously Fight Talk lads sent you. So that's been obviously Fight Talk episode 44. Mr. Movahedy, the gentleman himself, thank you very much. Beautiful as always.
Thanks for having me again. Really great conversation, and I'm sure I'll see you guys next week.
When are you back on duty? You're flying, you're saying you're away this weekend.
I'm at BCMMA this weekend, then the following weekend at Norwich, then seeing you guys in Dublin.
Sweet. Robert, are you having coming up any articles on about WoW TV that you want to shamelessly plug?
No, but there probably will be something coming up. But have you found us a studio yet now?
I just don't want more notes.
I
just want to say congratulations to Cole and his missus.
Oh, yeah.
Finding out they're having a baby girl. So congrats.
Look at Dan. Dan's such a pro, isn't he? Yeah. And I'm back in action as well this weekend. I'm in Limerick City.
Good night, everyone. Thank you very much.
Yurt. Rubber bandits impression, you bastard. I'm in Limerick for a Muay Thai show, and then we're up in Belfast for Clan Wars. Check it out. Clan Wars always a top show. Great fights. All the top Irish fighters are up in Clan Wars on Sunday. So as we said, obviously Fight Talk, you've been beautiful. We love you. Peace.